It's good to be back. Just spent a few days in Atlanta here with the sin relief thing that we're doing in our partnership with that. Do not want this cold weather, but it is what it is. So we are in Indiana, and I guess we shouldn't complain. We've had a pretty good winter so far. So, yeah, we should always expect to have some cold single-digit days. This is part of where we are and who we are up here in Indiana. But it was exciting to be a part of some other groups that look kind of like us. They might do a few things across the nation, but finding that, you know, we're not the only ones that do what we do. Some of them just do it a different way. So they had some team building exercises. I don't know if anybody's ever been team building exercises. A lot of people are like, what's team building exercises? Well, when you get together with a team and then you work some things out. And so that night what they had, they said, hey, we got team building exercises. And so basically you can go-karting where you race each other. Oh, yeah, I like that. You can do laser tagging and you can do that. But no, Jimmy didn't get that. It was the battle of the chefs. Yes. So I had to do some cooking, and it was no, yeah. So it was not good. I can't believe they put me in the group with cooking. If it doesn't have instructions on a box or a can, it's not happening. So, and of course the main chef there decides to use me as an example because I was peeling a potato over a garbage can, and I guess you're not allowed to do that because people drop it and they look around and pick it right back up and use it again. Because they said, well, we're going to wash it. Well, I didn't drop it, but I did it wrong. So I did a lot of things wrong that night, but we didn't win. I can tell you that. We were not the chefs. We did not win. So they were saying, anybody here that is really good chefs? Well, I didn't stick my hand up. And then they said, anyone here has a problem boiling water? I said, well, I'm going to get in that group. So anyway, it backfired on me, and I ended up doing that. So. Yeah, so we had salmon and this other type of meat. I don't even know what you call it, fancy names. And in the end, though, I was full. I ate off other people's plates. They had all this stuff in other people, other teams. But I think the team that won was from Baltimore, so the key person. But we were all over the country. But anyway, next time I'll say, I already did that one. I don't want to do the chef stuff. I'm not very good at that. So, but it is good to be back. Had a great week with them. But back to our reality here with our with New Life. In New Life, this is our Vision Day. We've been doing this for quite a while now, and Vision Day is our day where we talk about a little bit of the past where God is leading us, and there's some scripture that we're going to use today to help us draw some of those things out of that, and knowing that we've been doing this a while. Amen. We've been doing this a while, We've been doing it a while with less than 100 people on a typical Sunday. We're less than 100 people, but we've been doing what we've been doing it, and God has been faithful. Even though we might have broken our faith a time or two here and there as individuals, or even as a church, God has been faithful. I'm so thankful for His faithfulness. But He has called us to do something greater than ourselves. I do want to go to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be in this thing today called Be Strong and Courageous. But in Exodus chapter 3, what we see is God's people were in, Hebrews were in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And God had, Moses was out in the desert anyway, out there doing his thing. And God had met him at this fiery bush. And what we see, God has got something He wants to share His vision with Moses. And this isn't our key piece, but it's the beginning. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 16. Verse 16, it says, the Lord says, go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, Abraham, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to me and has said, I have paid close attention to you and to what had been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised you that I will bring you up from the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hethites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And what we see there is a two-piece part of this vision that God is sharing with the people. He's speaking through through Moses, and Moses said that the Lord says, he said, I have promised you that I will bring you up out of Egypt. Number one, I will bring you up out of the misery of Egypt, and I will take you to a land flowing that is not your land, into a land of milk and honey, a place of prosperity. And so what we see here today is we're going to be, our key piece is going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now what we're going to find out here is that there has been parts of what God has done and brought them up out of Egypt. They are out of Egypt. They have went through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was drowned in the Red Sea. And so they went forward. They come up on this the Promised Land. There was a time when they did send them some spies, 12 spies, but 10 of them came back with a bad report. They were looking with their eyes on how big the enemy was, but not how big God was. And they had forgotten what God has done. So they were allowed to roam around for 40 years and let that generation die off. And so here we find out it's coming to a moment where now they're going into, now actually getting ready to go into this second phase of this vision that God has for them. I want to remind you that vision is something that God has, a vision is something that is a forecast of the future to be, that you're planning to do. And people make plans and they can visualize where they want to be. But as believers, we don't want to get into that area unless we bring God with us, unless we're asking God to be a part of it, and God is leading us into it. And so here it is. They are at this pivotal place. They're up there, but some things have happened. Moses is not going to be going into the Promised Land. That's another story. But God is not allowing Moses to go there. And God is still speaking through Moses. He still speaks through Moses, even though he's not going into the Promised Land. And he's going to tell Moses some things that need to be addressed, and some things that some words of instruction. So I want to share with you today that God has brought us up a really good place so far in New Life. Amen. God has brought us into, we started in New Life just very small, and now we have New Life, you know, New Life Fellowship Church, but we also have New Life Ministries. And so churches our size usually do not do ministries. Usually they'll do a food bank thing on a Wednesday or Tuesday, which is fine. That's fine. Or they'll do something else. And that'll be pretty much to the extent of it. And that's okay. They need to be who God's called them to do. But when God gives you a vision that is a God vision, listen, there's things you can help people. You don't need a God vision to help people. Amen? In Luke chapter 10, there's a good story about a good Samaritan. We are just called to help people. And if lost people can help people, we are called to help people even more. Amen? But so we can have a vision and we can have plans. People that don't know the Lord have visions and they have plans, visions of where they like to see themselves. But when you're doing things that God's vision is always going to be this. It's always going to be something bigger than yourself. A God vision will always be bigger than yourself. Okay? So God's vision will always be bigger than yourself. And here it was. The people could not go out of Egypt. But they had to go through. God brought them out of Egypt. But they had this great journey that had done for them, that God had led them through something, so many obstacles, and God had so much mercy upon them, but he still continued to work with them and through them. And what we see here now, Moses is doing this piece here today. He's speaking today, and this is what he says. He's speaking, the Lord has spoken to him, and he's speaking now. He's got the whole crowd of the Israelites in front of him, and the Lord says this through Moses, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. He will not leave you or abandon you." There are a few things in here that the Lord is wanting all the people to know as a collective of the people. Moses instructed the people that this is what God said. Number one, be strong and courageous. You have to be strong and courageous. Don't want no wimps. You want to do God's vision. You got to be tough. Because anything you do for God, I'm telling you, the enemy is right there in the shadows waiting to pounce. And you got to be ready. Okay, so he says, be strong and courageous to all the people. This wasn't just for Joshua, as we see in Joshua chapter 1, but it was for all the people. Be strong and courageous, number one. Number two is don't be terrified or afraid. Don't be terrified or afraid of them. who is them? Them are those giants that live in those lands that the other that their fathers were afraid to go into. They saw how big, and we look like grasshoppers. They're giants. And here it is. This generation, they're fired up. They're ready to go. But he says, don't be terrified or afraid of them. Some of us right now, just for a moment here, some of us actually have this, we struggle with the spirit of fear. We do, honestly. We fear what's going on in the world today. We fear what's going on in the political world today. We fear what's going on into the wars that are going on. We fear about how far the money is, all the money issues. We fear about everything. We fear about the weather. We fear about all kinds of things. And so then we get to the point, we fear that God's coming. Even though we're excited about coming, Jesus is coming. People struggle with the fear. And we struggle with fear more than we think that we do. But here it is. Here it is. God is saying, don't be terrified or afraid, okay, of them. Don't be afraid. He's saying, don't be afraid of what you're going to be seeing in front of you. Because here's what he says. This is what the strengthening part. For the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. So listen, if God's called you into a vision, God's called you to do something, he's always going to go with you. God will never send you to a place he's not going to go with you. Amen? Wherever he's sending you, he's going. He wouldn't send you to a place if he wasn't going with you. And that's what he says. And then he says also that he will not leave you. The last part, number four, is he will not leave you or abandon you. If it gets a little tough or you get a little weak or you get a little into this spot, he's not going to say, oops, and just slide away. He's going to go right there with you. So what this is a guarantee that God is going to be with you, going to be with the people all the way through it. You know what? That's a better guarantee than you can get on your front brake pads. You know, guaranteed for a lifetime. That's guaranteed better than your shin shoe knives. It's a guarantee. It's not a 20 or a 10-year guarantee or a 5-year. When you buy a car, you got 3 years of warranty. Listen, if God says he'll never leave you nor abandon you, you have him all the way to the very end. He's going to be with you the whole way through. But then Moses goes on to verse 7. He says, Moses then summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. Now what he does is he goes over to the side and he pulls Joshua right up. He says, come here, son. Come over here. Because Moses is about 120 years old, okay? So Moses pulls Joshua over. But the scripture says that he was fervent with life. He was still strong and all that. So this 120 years, he pulls Joshua over right in front of all the people. He said, this is what he does. Verse 7. Moses then summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the sight of all Israel, so everybody is a witness. He said, be strong and courageous. That is the key theme of this whole thing. Be strong and courageous. Okay, be strong and courageous, for you will go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to give to their fathers. Basically, he's putting it down. He says, you're going with them. You're going to go with them. You're going to go with them, okay? You're going to go with them. You're not going to slide out the back. You're not going to go in the back of the pew. You're not going to sit way back there. You're going to go with them, okay? Then he continues on. He says, you will enable them to take possession of it. You're going to be in charge in front of everyone. So everyone hears it. Everyone hears it. He hears it. He's going to be in charge. I'm telling you, as much as this man might want to have been in charge previously or whatever it may be, the reality just hit him in the face. Moses is telling them, you're going to enable him to take possession of it in front of a lot of people. Conversations behind him, nope, this is in front of everyone. You're going to take possession of it. And the Lord is the one who will go with before you. Here it is. Again, he's reassuring him the same thing that he told everybody in the front. But now he's saying it to eye, face to face. The Lord will go with you, will go before you. Now that's a very important piece there. So here it says, here's what it says back in verse 6, right? It says, for the Lord your God is the one who will go with you. But here he's telling Joshua, this is the one who will go before you. There's a difference. You can go with me, and then you can go before me. You're in the front. Joshua, every leader that leads whatever God has called him to do, needs to do this. It isn't that just God is with me, but God is before you. Does that make sense? Because whoever you're doing in your ministry or whatever it is, whatever God's called you in your own personal life, if you got to let him lead you, it says God will go before you. That's very important. That's one thing a leader's got to learn. It's not just the God that's going to be with them, but the God's got to go before them in the front of it. So you always know who you're following. Because if you follow yourself, you'll crash and burn somewhere. Because our ego will get in the way, our self will get in the way, whatever it may be. But if we follow the Lord, He needs to be in the front. And again, He will not leave you or abandon you. That's very important. He will not leave you or abandon you. That's very important. He also said that to the people, didn't He? He said that the people told the people that they will not leave you or abandon you. But there's something different that He puts in here as well. He told the people in the group, don't be terrified or afraid. That's what He told the large group. Don't be terrified or afraid. But what does He tell Joshua? He tells Joshua here, don't be afraid or discouraged. Now look at it again. Here in verse 6, He says, He will not leave you. Don't be afraid or don't be terrified or afraid. Here He says, don't be afraid or discouraged. So there's a little bit of a difference. There's the same word of being afraid, but here it is. The people were not to be terrified, but Joshua is not to be discouraged. Because really, in leadership, it's not the terrifying thing that shrinks a leader. It's the discouragement that will shrink a leader. If anybody ever has been a leader in whatever you're doing, it's not the terrifying thing that you're looking at. It's the discouragement behind the scenes that will break you down more than anything. Okay? It's not the big fire in the front. It's not the big mountains in the front. It's people doing this. Da, 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 da. Or it's this over here. It's all the discouragement. You're not doing the right thing. That's the biggest discouragement in a leader. So don't be afraid of Joshua, and don't be discouraged. You can't do that. There's no room for that. There is no room for that at all. So He is encouraged to do that. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Okay? Now what happens is, I'm just going to give you this real quick piece. In chapter 34, what happens is Moses comes to the end. And then it says in verse 6, He buried him. This is a little moment here. I just want to give you a little moment here about Moses. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab facing Beth Peor. And no one to this day knows where his grave is. Just want to give you a side note. The only person I know that was ever buried by God is Moses. Wow, what a moment. We can talk about why Moses didn't go into the promised land, but I want to tell you something. Check this out in verse 10. No prophet has risen again in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unparalleled to anybody else. Moses was, even though what he did, all that, didn't go to the promised land. Listen, Scripture really lifts him up. God lifts him up. And we know in the book of Jude that there was a battle over the body of Moses. Don't want to get into that, but there was a battle in there. Even with that, what's going on? There was so much going on. And then Moses dies. It's one thing knowing when you're going to be in charge of something, but there's a day when you actually are in charge. And that's over in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, there's an encouragement that the Lord is going to encouragement. So there's something here about encouragement and discouragement. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. There's something that God knows about Joshua that he needs to be encouraged. You know, God knows exactly what you need too. Amen. God knows exactly how you are, that you're not a perfect leader in anything that you do, or even as a perfect into your family, and I'm not perfect either in anything that I do. But God knows the things that we need to keep us going. And it says this in chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over to the Jordan, to the land I am giving to the Israelites. Here it is. The vision is reallocated again. There was a vision that was given to Moses. I'm going to take my people, two things. One, I'm going to lead my people out of Egypt. I'm going to take you to the promised land. Here it is. Now, Moses didn't finish it, but Moses was still a part of that. All was a part of that. But now the vision, then we don't have to talk about Egypt anymore. We don't have to talk about Egypt anymore. Egypt is done. That whole thing is done. God wanted it to be done so much that He allowed that whole generation, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them, they all died. Okay? Except the young ones. And now they're adults. And here it is. The vision is not that it's changed. Here it is. Still originality from the original vision. He says, now you and all the people prepare to cross the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. It's still the original vision. But here's the thing. Vision is amazing. It is amazing to get a vision. It's amazing to start doing somewhat of the vision. But when you're in it, here it is. Now they're going to have to go into it, into the vision. Not just going to the vision, but they're going to go into the vision. I want to share with you today some things with New Life that's been going on in the vision. So we are in the vision. We've already kind of crossed over into the land that God is giving to us, but we've not taken it all over to what God has for us yet. I want to share some things that God has done along, because along the way, it can either be painful, it can be hurtful, it can be exciting, it can be fearful at times. But here we're going to find some things that the Lord has done here. Just in the last year, God has increased our attendance. It's something that we prayed for. God has increased our attendance for Sunday morning worship from, I think it was 85 to 94. I think it was on Wednesdays. I think the average, I want to say it was 41. It could be off, but now the average is 51 on Wednesday. Meal ministry now is serving the lunch meals all these years, and now we're doing lunch on a regular basis. We've done that pretty much all throughout this last year. And Bob is not here today because he's speaking for me. He's speaking up in another church about our ministries today up in Garrett. So, but also the ministry is also doing carry-out meals right now. We're doing carry-out meals on every meal. He called me up yesterday, and I know that some of you saw that somebody didn't show up, but that's okay. We bounced through that. But we are doing carryouts. I did 80 meals one day, and so we know that that's going to rise. We did 300 meals the day before Thanksgiving. That Thanksgiving meal that we served 300 meals. Our adult life houses condensed down from two director positions down to one, which saves us money and giving us more consistency. New Life Ministries also added a full-time donor development position. Brittany Shoemaker's on that, so now we have another full-time that it was able to have us some funds for that. The New Life Fellowship Church and New Life Ministries, we are in a consulting piece for 15 months with discipleship and stewardship, which is helping a lot in many different ways. Everything for the Children's Life House now, all of our requirements, all the things that we need to do are completed. So Trevor and Tabitha are ready to go. All we do is waiting for a phone call, and we're ready to go. So the Children's Life House is done, and everything we need to do is done. We are just waiting for the right call, right? Amen to that. And then the Life Center, the old church across the street, folks, we are working, we're planning. We've already done a lot of work on that. We've got purposes for that now. We've got plans. We've got phases. It's all getting ready to go. Also here in this place, the balcony, the ceilings, and the outer balcony, and the walls, and the offices across there. And we've got AC over there. It was nice to have AC this last summer over there when we had a meal or just being a part of that. So that's all completed. We had 5 mission teams this last year, 2 in the spring, first time ever. We had 1 in the winter. We had 2 in the spring, 2 in the summer, and 1 in the winter, all the way from Indiana, Georgia, Illinois, Mississippi, and Alabama, coming from 5 places. New Life Ministries became a Sin Relief affiliate. That's where I was in Atlanta, so we've become an affiliate across the country now. I wanted to share with you, we pay 28 utility bills a month. Pretty close to that, 28 utility bills a month. I couldn't afford that on my own, could you? No, 28 utility bills a month. And last year we paid 336 utility bills for 2023. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. We also pay a $20,000 insurance policy. And we have 13 employees and everybody and everything and all the bills were paid. Everything was paid. We gave $5,560 to missions. Some of that went to New Life Ministries. We went to Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong. We went to Tanzania, Africa with Pastor Joseph. We sent a little money to Sin Relief, the Hoosier Heartbeat. And that's something that's big, and I'll share that more later sometime. And then we sent some money to the state convention and to our association. So we spent we gave $5,560 away to missions. We spent $5,560 to help other people, not just ourselves. We housed 53 men and women in our life houses. Wow. I don't know if you're stunned or you just don't get it. If you thought last year was a big year, you just wait until this year. Not that I'm trying to make it bigger and better and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying that this year is going to even take a lot more. But I'm telling you, what God has done in the last year, some of these things right here is only a God thing. I didn't call Alabama for a mission team. They called us. I didn't call some of these teams to come here. I didn't go out trying to find Pastor Joseph. I didn't do that. He found us. God led him to us. I'm just trying to tell you today that we should be excited about what God is doing here at New Life and New Life Ministries. We should be excited about what He has called us to do. We should be excited about what He's doing. We should be excited about it. I'm excited about it. It gets a little tough at times, but I'm excited about it because I know this, that where much is given, much is acquired. Where much has been asked for, much more will be demanded of. So here it is. God is still using us, but I'm telling you, if we don't give praise to God and we don't thank Him for what He's doing, we don't stay obedient to what God is doing, He can take it all away and says, you don't love me, you don't get it, you're not even in it. I've given you more. Listen, you need to know that God is working here. We need to know that God is using this place to lift up His name to the lost and the dying world of Huntington and other places across the state or even in other states surrounding where sometimes we receive people. I want to tell you, we can be negative about what we see to be negative, or we can be negative and be sorrowful, or we can get on the other part of it and start thanking God for the good things that He has done. God has done mighty works here. He has done mighty works here. And if you don't think He has, you need to go look in the mirror and see if you're letting God be God in your life. Because God is doing a lot of things. Listen, He can tell us, listen, you brought us, you, this group has taken us so far. He could just say, you know what? You're not in it. You don't get it. You're not loving. You're not caring. You're not, you know, you don't want to go forward. You're acting like you're tired. Listen, God gave the vitality and all that stuff to Moses and Caleb to be able to do what they needed to do. And God's doing that here. Folks, there was a time, there was a couple of years where I struggled, even just breathing sometimes, where I had to do inhalers and a breathing machine up here before I come down and preach. God is at work more than we think He is. God has helped me with my health, kept my wife healthy. To keep doing what we're doing. It doesn't mean if you're not healthy, it doesn't mean that, I'm just saying for us, God is keeping us healthy to be a part of that spearhead that's moving forward to keep doing what God has called us to do. Listen, I'm telling you, God is here. I'm telling you, He is doing something with a group of people that we should not be able to be doing what we're doing. There's very few educated people in here. There's very few people that's got a four-year college degree in here. There's very few people in here that's read the whole Bible. There are very few people in here that spend that much time in prayer. I'm telling you, God is doing some things here. And we need to be excited about what God is doing. God has done a lot of things here at New Life Fellowship. And He is not done. We're not done until He tells us that we're done as a group or we're done as an individual. But right now, I'm on this watch, and I got to make sure that I'm doing everything that God's called me to do. Do it in love. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to listen to negativity. I'm not going to listen to people that think we should do this. Listen, we are moving forward. God has a plan. And He has been very good and He has been very faithful of fulfilling what He has called us to do. You see, Moses was back over in chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and he went all the way up into Deuteronomy 31. Ours happened all the way back in 2006. And now it's 2024. God has been faithful for the 22 years. He has been faithful to this place. He has been faithful to me and Carla. He's been faithful to those who have been there and working through these ministries and this. For what purpose? The purposes are always going to be bigger than what we think they are. We're not always understanding why God's called a small church to do big things, or why God called you to be here, why God called me to be here. Listen, I didn't choose this place. He chose this place. I didn't choose me. I had another plan. Last week I wanted to do go-karts or laser tag. Much more manly, I felt, not chef. I didn't choose pastoring, he chose me. I didn't choose to preach, he chose me. I didn't choose to be in whatever I'm doing, he chose me. And I'm telling you what, he does a lot better with me. He does a lot better running my life than I do my own. And he does a lot better running the church. And listen, when people say, oh, this, listen, I spend time praying over this church. I spend time praying for people. I spend time praying, seeing what God has for us. And he's got a lot planned for us. We are up to the line. We know what God has done. I just shared with what God has done. And that was just in 2023. That doesn't count the other 21 years, what God has done. He's called us to be a key. We are like a key master. We have keys to seven buildings. We have keys to seven buildings. There's churches that run 500 that don't have keys, but one key, an entry key. We have entry keys to a lot of things. Now I want to share with you what he's got planned for 2024. Because here he is. Here it is. This says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you see all the people prepared to cross over to the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads. Just as I promised Moses, everywhere he goes, he says, I'm going to let you win. You're going to be a winner. You do it my way. Your territory will be from the wilderness of Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, and all the land of the Hittites and west of the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses, and I will not leave you or abandon you. Why did he keep saying that, just as I was with Moses? Because Joshua was there outside the tent, watching, protecting all the time. No one goes in. No one comes in. The cloud is here. God is speaking with Moses, and Joshua saw that all the time, day in and day out. He saw it all the time. Be strong and courageous is what God is telling Joshua, for you will distribute the land. That is a new piece. Nothing was ever told about that before. But God says, Joshua, you're going to distribute the land. What? It's going to be in the clans. It's going to be in those tribes. For you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance above all. Above all now, I want you to be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. He's telling them, don't you forget what Moses told you in the past. Listen, we are not to forget our past, okay? But we need to listen to the word, what God has called us to do. He says, do not turn from to the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Sounds like a repetitive piece, doesn't it? But sometimes God needs to tell us more than once, more than once, more than once. You see, some of you, some people will say, you know what, I want to go to another church. I'm ready to go to a church. And they visit, and they do, and they pick the church they want to go to. But some of you know that you couldn't leave here today, even if you wanted to, because God has called you. And when God calls someone to be at a church, you don't leave it until God tells you to leave. That's the way it should be in the first place. Amen? Come on, now, y'all is very quiet today. This is Vision Day. It should be exciting today. I know it's cold out there, but I want to tell you that... Listen, God is challenging us to move on and move forward. I want to share some things with you. And I believe that we're going to have to be strong and courageous, as I was looking for that theme back in October. And that one, that was the last piece with the theme name. And usually the theme name usually is the last piece for me, because there's usually the Lord just so many little fragments and it's a thousand piece puzzle you're trying to put together. But it actually comes together. So here's some things that you're going to have on your sheet today, on your bulletin. And your, whoops, I just tore it. Your little paper here. So we start this vision at 6 o'clock tonight. We start our fasting at 6 o'clock in prayer time. And listen, if you don't think, we got to fast, let me tell you something. We don't fast enough here. We don't fast enough here. Why is it we got to think God is here for us? And we ought to have him just jump on our bandwagon and we just have a good time all the time. We have no clue what it means to weep for someone else or weep for, we're struggling. Listen, we need to be careful not to take God's gifts for granted. So we need to know that we're called to pray and also to fast. So this is our week of prayer and fasting. It's not starting tomorrow as we normally would do. We're starting tonight at 6 p.m. How would you kind of do that? Well, you kind of do that. Take the word. 6 o'clock, we cut off our food. We spend some time there praying. We start focusing on that. And we pray, and there's some things to pray for. So tonight we're going to be praying for, our first thing is, it says we're going to pray for the complete sanctuary ceiling. So there's some things that we got going on here. So let me just share with you some things. There's like six things for the church and two for the ministries. Number one, that we're praying for, and we're going to fast for this year, that we're going to pay off the $20,000 loan that we had for the bricks and the gutters. If you remember that, the repair, complete this. And so we want to finish this. Do we need to finish it? Yeah, we need to finish it. Because here's the thing: I'm going to be more about ministry. I need more. I spent, if we had $10,000, but we fix this, are we going to go do ministry? I'm going to go do ministry. But we need to fix this. We need to fix it. We need to fix it. We need to fix it. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to pray and fast that the Lord will just pay off. We're going to pay off this $20,000 loan that we have for that bricks and gutters that we all did. And we'll have all these leaks going around. But we're going to repair and complete the sanctuary ceiling. That's what that's about. So number two is, so that $20,000 is a payoff in loans, okay? So number two is the praise band. We need a praise band. We need to be praying for the praise band. We need this praise band up, okay? We've been trying to get that up last year, but sometimes things take longer than a year, but we need to do that, okay? And there's a reason for that, because number three is New Song Church Plant, Fort Wayne. So Phil Fisher and Ashley are going to be going to Fort Wayne, and so listen, it's going to be a good church plant. We're going to be the sending church, kind of the mother church, and the sending church, push them out, and they're going to go into Fort Wayne, on the south side of Fort Wayne. They're going to start a church called New Song. And so they have a lot of positions that they work in this church, and we're going to have to fill them up, and we're going to have to replace them. And one of those things is leading music. So that's why we need the praise band number two. And the number three was the New Song, the church plant in Fort Wayne. And so that should be a good piece. That's not a campus. That's going to be a full-fledged church on its own one day. And so we're going to be a part of that. Number four is 20 baptisms this year. Going to pray for 20 baptisms. I said, I typed it in as 24, but it's not 23, but it should be 20 baptisms for 2024. So 20 baptisms, okay? Here's the crazy part. All of our numbers went up. Baptisms went down. You know why? Because 2 years in a row we talked about baptisms. We prayed about baptisms. Then we stopped, and the numbers went down. That tells you something about prayer, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Our numbers were up 2 years in a row, and last year, this 2023, it was the only number. Our number went down was in baptisms, okay? So we're going to pray that God will give us 20 baptisms this year. Do we think that can happen? Do we know that the Lord can do that? He gave us 25 in 2 years, but hey, you know what? We're asking for 20 just for this year. All right? Now we're going to ask the Lord that he's also number five, that the church will physically grow. For the last few years, our church has physically grown from. And you know, I just shared those with you, but we're going to ask the Lord to continue to grow that. We have things, and we have people, we have positions that we need to fill. We need to continue to grow as a church. We need to grow, physically grow, okay? And then number six for the church is the plan. We gotta put a plan together and prepare for the worship center restoration. That means to redo this whole thing. Redo this whole thing. So we did part of that on the outsides. We got to do the ceiling part. This is this part. This is the part, their pews. We got to figure out what we're doing with those pews. Those pews are falling apart. Those pews are falling apart, okay? Now, you wouldn't know that because you sit in the same spot every Sunday. I know the Odquists are going to sit there. I know the Coveys are going to sit there. I know the Geringers are going to sit over there. I know Jeremy's going to sit right there. The Fishers are going to sit right there. So you don't know where it is, but I've actually went down and sat in a lot of these spots. We've looked at them. I'm telling you, these pews are over 100 years old, and they are that section over there where Bob sits. Folks, we didn't do that for Bob. That was just an extra because it sat down and it collapsed on people in the service, okay? And then we removed it and said, hey, that's going to be for Bob, right? So we turned something negative and turned it into something positive. But, folks, we have I don't want you to, but if you get underneath and look, there's a lot of metal brackets underneath some of these pews. Some of them are pulling out. They're not the best, and this carpet's got stains all the way through it, all the way around it. And we're going to have to redo the carpet. We just need to redo the carpet. We've got to figure out if we're going to go pews, we're going to theater seating. I don't know. But I know if you have an idea, you let me know. But don't come up with an idea if you don't come up with a price. I'm not saying you have to pay for it. Just give me a price. Tell me how you researched it or whatever, because we have to figure that out. But I will tell you this. To have them come in and redo the pews, I'm telling you, it's 80%. For whatever new pews would be, to restore these pews would be 80% of new pews. That's from talking to them. I was like, what? Because they will tear these down and take them somewhere. They will repair them, and then they will reupholster them, and it's almost like making brand new pews. So we need to figure that out. So the church, so we're asking, number six, that we'll plan and prepare for the worship center restoration. That's what we want to do. We want to do that. This thing could take a couple years to get accomplished, but we're going to work on that. That's all for the church there. There's not one thing here that we can really do on our own. And somebody can say, well, we can do a praise band on our own. No, we can't, because we just can't do it. God has to be a part of that. God has to be a part of it. I'm trying. And if you look on the Southern Baptist website, you'll see all these big churches looking for worship leaders, and they pay them worship leaders, and sometimes they pay them very, very well. There's one worship leader, one church pays a worship leader $80,000. So we're looking for one for free. F-R-E-E. But, I don't know. We're just going to have to work on that. But there's nothing here that we can do on our own. If we could fix those ceilings on our own, we'd have done it already. We haven't done that. So even in 20 baptisms, you just can't do that. Okay, you can't make a church physically grow. We can't make a church grow. These are all godly things that we're asking the Lord to take care of. And then we go into New Life Ministries. New Life Ministries here is that God will bless us with the $700,000. We need $700,000 for this year. This is what we're looking for. That's more than what we need in the budget, but there's some things that are part of the vision here. And listen, if you think it's $700,000, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot to God. God has all things. He has it all. God could drop a check anytime He wants. He can do anything He wants and desires. We have to remember what the purposes that we need those for. Still would like to get the apartment complex over here that holds five families. I'd like to get the corner on the house there across the street. I'm praying. I talked to Jim Freewood across the street. Would like to get that building over there where they have the vans and stuff because he retired. Unless you're Jim, don't sell it unless you talk to us first. We need parking. Y'all saw the parking out there, right? That would help us. Even though we have the church parking over there, that would help us over there as well. And so there are some things there. I don't even know, but that's the number we're praying for. So we're looking on that. And then we're also, number two, is we're from New Life Ministries, that we're trying to secure finances to begin a big phase, start the phases over there on 20, across the street on the old church. The old church, we want to do some exterior stuff. We want to get some of those windows all done. So we're looking into that. So that's an amazing piece, folks. That's eight things that we have on there on the list, six for the church and two for the ministries. So here it is. What did God tell Joshua? He said, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Everything in front of Joshua in the promised land was unknown to them. Everything in front of them was big, 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 fortified. You know, if you know anything about military tactics, it's easier to defend than to attack. And so here it is. Everything they were going to do, they were going to do what they needed to do. Not to be afraid, not to be discouraged. not to be terrified, but to do what God's calling them to do. And he says he'll be with, he said he would tell them, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to lead you, and I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to abandon you. I'm thankful that God has not left us or abandoned us from what God has called us to do, because we would have sunk already. We would have sunk already. I want to share with you the number one thing that we need to remember is the gospel is number one. The gospel is number one in all that we do. There's a purpose here. It's not just to build up. It's not to build up. Just to build up. But something about the strong and courageous is very important. King David is about ready to go on, and he's kind of made the plans for the temple. But he gives instructions to his son Solomon. This is what he says in 1 Chronicles 28:20. He says, then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Why are we so afraid of the Lord's work? Do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He won't leave you or abandon you until all the work of the service of the Lord's house is finished. We just heard Moses instruct Joshua. God instructed the people about being strong and courageous. He would never leave them or abandon them. And now we see David saying the same thing. Solomon, be strong and courageous. Do the work. God's not going to abandon you. He'll never leave you. Be encouraged. Why, how in the world can they all say that? Because this one thing, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. There's going to be opportunities for movements. There's going to be opportunities for change. And some of those things is God's looking and looking and searching the hearts of people. And I pray that your heart is right for what God has for you in 2024. Remember, it's not just about what does God want for me. No, it's, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Use me. We're getting to the point where the people that are doing things can't do anymore. We need more people. We need people to step up. We have things that's getting ready to happen. We got things that are getting ready to move forward. And we're going to need to be strong. We're going to be courageous, not be terrified or discouraged. We got to know that God's with us. And we got to know that we got to do the work. Now I'm going to pray that y'all here were spiritually, because in voice you were not. The whole thing, you were not. You were as quiet as a mouse. But sometimes I know God works like that too. It's not always up in the flamboyant of the hands raised or the amens or the hallelujahs. God's not always into that. But it's in His right here. And I pray today that your heart, maybe God is stirring in your heart to do some things. Step up and do some things. You know why God didn't tell us everything in 06 when He gave us a vision and we brought some people and did that trip and come back and share. And all we saw was just a glimpse of a vision. You know why we didn't see all the stuff involved in it? Because we would have been scared, terrified, and discouraged. Like, there's no way we could do it. But after so many years, now we see and we've walked that journey. But folks, I want to remind you, our journey is not done. Our journey is not done. Our journey is not done. So I'm going to ask and challenge you to take our prayer time this week serious and our fasting time. There's a fasting time in the front end. Fasting opens the door. Prayer and fasting opens the door. Prayer is there all week long, and prayer and fasting closes the door at 6 p.m. on Friday. We'll revisit this again in August for a 24-hour fast. Prayer and fast, we'll revisit again in August. It's in your book. It has the date. And we'll bring it up throughout the year. But I want to challenge you, when you see these things come to play and they come to life, don't just sit there and think, ooh, look what we did. We need to start giving praise to God and give Him praise and thank Him for what He's done and what He's doing. Folks, if I had If I was ripping off a list for what God has done since we started, I would, from when I started sharing things for 2020, I would still be talking about things because God has done so much. So my challenge for us today is to take this prayer and time and fasting time serious. Sometimes we say, well, I haven't seen God move. Well, God is moving. You got to open your eyes. As Henry Blackaby says, go find where God is at. Go there. But you don't have to go far. God is working right here. You just got to open up your heart and let him work into your life. So take the prayer time and the fasting time serious. Take your time with this, Lord. Make this year your year that you're going to draw closer to the Lord. Make this year. We had a great class this morning. Make sure you be careful when you open up your mouth that if it's not encouraging and it's discouraging, you might need to zip it. There's enough discouraging words floating around. Amen? All right. That's the biggest amen we got today. Was it for me? It's for ourselves. And I know this, that God is always searching hearts and minds and souls when his word is preached. And no one knows the inner depths of a man, a woman's heart, than God himself. So I don't know what God has spoken to you about today. The whole thing here, maybe you just need to say, Lord, give me some fire. Lord, let's stir up the embers of my spirit. I just feel like I'm not where I need to be, or I feel like I don't feel you, Lord. I feel like I'm on the team, but I'm sitting on the bench. Lord, let me just say, you talk to the Lord first. Talk to the Lord first. Because God has a lot to say. We just have to be good listeners. Amen? Father, we're getting ready to move into this part of our service where we just have a time to pray and a time to respond to whatever your Spirit has for us. Lord, may you search the hearts. If I know that you are, I pray, Father, that you would speak to the hearts today, that we would not be blind or deaf, but that you would speak to us so we might hear and see what you'd have for us today, that we might give you glory and glorify you with a changed life or a changed heart or an attitude adjustment, or just put us in the right path or the right room. We ask it in Jesus' name, who gives a purpose for living. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand. So our time today is a moment where we can pray and we can come to the place where we can just respond to what God has for us. And whatever that response is for you, maybe you can just do whatever you need to do. Maybe you need a restart with your attitude and your personality and your character. You say, Lord, I need a fresh start. God loves giving fresh starts. Amen. God loves giving fresh starts. Amen? All right. And God loves working with the hearts of people. And so, your heart, you have a heart because you're part of our people here. So whatever it is, I want to just pray and challenge you to take this time seriously, because God is serious about your life and about this church.